Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dan Bernstein.
Who the hell is that?
Middays on 670 The Score.
2-2. Hey! Swing and a miss, and how about the reaction from McGuire? He pumps his fist. Kopech picks up his sixth strikeout.
Special. He's one of my favorite. I knew him as a young guy when I was in Boston, but now he's just taken another step, and he's talked to the right people, and he's let things go, you know, not worrying about too many things. That's cleared him up and took him to the next level of elite.
Joe Kelly talking about Michael Kopech, and the Chicago White Sox, the Boston Red Sox are facing off. Red Sox are starting to heat up a little bit here. I want to say that was Harry Doyle, the character played by Bob Uecker, who says they were threatening to climb out of last place, and indeed they did. Here to talk about the White Sox upcoming opponent is Rob Bradford. He is on Twitter at Bradfo. Red Sox writer for WEEI and host of the Bradfo Show podcast. It was just here with Joe Kelly down at Cork. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. How are you, Rob?
Watch out. The best 19-22 team in the history of baseball coming your way, the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I know. I hear this. I hear the sarcasm. So, in all honesty, are they regressing to form after a slow start? Because we're waiting for the White Sox to do the same.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's funny, you know, paying attention to the White Sox and obviously covering the Red Sox, I see two teams that underperformed out of the gate, but at the end of the day, I do think both probably will be in the postseason. And I know I kid about the Red Sox, but with the wild card situation and the talent they have and the way that they're playing, they had a lot of stuff that they had the blueprint for coming out of spring training, and the blueprint didn't work. So they had to adjust, and they have adjusted. Their starting pitching has been really good. The biggest thing is their offense, and particularly Trevor Story, who was just a disaster the first month, has been unbelievable in the last week and a half. So, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I think they're coming back to the point where, okay, this is a pretty good team. They're not going to win the division. They're too far out for that, but still they can make some waves. And I think the same thing with the White Sox.
What of the blueprint didn't work?
Well, it's a good question. Start with Trevor Story. I mean, Trevor Story, with him producing, was non-negotiable. This was the biggest investment that Heim Bloom made since he was with the Red Sox. A lot was going into it, a lot of conversations, you know, whether he's going to replace Xander Bogaerts, was he leveraged for Xander Bogaerts, you know, how is he going to fit? Is he going to be able to replace guys like Hunter Renfro's 30 home runs? All of that. So, and out of the gate, he was terrible. He was awful. And I think the Boston thing was getting to him a little bit. He was booed for the first time. It wasn't just one time either. It was multiple times. And then, boom, it clicked. Last week, starting with that homestand, he hits a home run. Next thing you know, he has five home runs in 4 days. And the whole lineup was completely different. You're still figuring things out with this lineup. But to have that guy, to have that bat there is a big deal. And then you're sorting through the bullpen. Because it's not like the White Sox. This is where the Red Sox and White Sox are different. The Red Sox didn't invest a lot of money in their bullpen. They just said, hey, you know what? We think you can get by with Matt Strom and Jake Diekman and Hansel Robles and these guys, and we're going to bob and weave our way through the order. And it wasn't really working, particularly at the end, And now they sort of come to, okay, this guy can do this and this guy can do that, and it's okay. We can get by with this bullpen.
Why is Alex Verdugo bad?
Put that on the bumper stickers.
But, I mean. But you're laughing. That is as straightforward a question as I can ask.
No, I like the directness. Well, I will say this: he wasn't bad last year. He obviously in the first couple of years of the Red Sox, he showed a lot of promise. This year, he has not been good, and it seems like he's always sort of banged up here and there. There was a lot of questions if he could actually be an everyday player hitting left-handed. That's really, he's having a hard time hitting everybody right now. He's had some signs, but the thing with Verdugo in Boston is that it's always going to be the shadow of Mookie Betts. I mean, it's always going to be that. And nobody's going to say that he has to be Mookie Betts. But considering that, you know, the trade that you made for what is probably going to be a Hall of Fame player in Mookie Betts, right now you go back two guys, Connor Wong and Jeter Downs, both are in the minor leagues, both aren't really impressing that much, and Alex Verdugo. So Verdugo has to be the guy, and he just simply hasn't been. All they want him to be is they want him to ultimately be maybe an all-star. And that seems like a lot. It's not a lot. We all know people who made the All-Star team. You're a good player if you make the All-Star team. But right now, as we sit here, you're asking me that question for a very good reason, because he hasn't been close to being an All-Star.
Now, meanwhile, Chris Sale is alive, because you never know with him. And he's through a bullpen. It looks like he's coming back from what was a stress fracture in his rib cage. I know he's had, we always talk about these unique Chris Sale ailments, because he's just got such a unique physiology. If he comes back, would they be willing to have him with fewer pitches and use him like he started his career as a high leverage reliever?
Yeah, see, I don't think they would do that, but I don't think you would get the sort of the long leash Chris Sale outings. Like last year in the playoffs, why Cora was pulling the trigger in terms of, hey, you know what, we're not letting you go three times for the order. The one time that he did it was with Sale, and it backfired. You know why? Because it was Chris Sale. And you know, but I think that when you see this guy come back, he's going to fall in with a lot of these other guys in the rotation, or really in baseball, where you say, you know, hey, two times through the order, I don't care if you're at 60 pitches, I don't care if you're at 80 pitches, we see the pockets coming up in the lineup, and we think the relievers can do a better job of getting the guy out. Before that was unthinkable with Chris Sale. So I just think that's what you're going to see coming out of the gate. And believe, you know, Chris Sale, as you know, like, he's really good with the media in terms of articulating himself in Boston. He's really handled that whole thing well about being accountable. But at the same time, it's come to the point now where he is catching heat, because it was one thing to make that trade to win the World Series and say, hey, you gave up two good players, but that's okay, you won the World Series. But now you're sitting there with this contract extension, making $30 million a year and not pitching. It's starting to catch up in terms of public perception. So, but, you know, listen, in August, we could be having a completely different conversation.
You mentioned a couple trades here, the one of Mookie Betts, the one of Chris Sale, and connected to all this via trade, Michael Kopech of the White Sox looks like he's starting to be what was envisioned, maybe not in quite exactly the same way. You know, we heard these tales of him throwing 108 miles an hour in his warm-ups or whatever it is, and the stuff's still really good, but he's more than that. And it does seem like he's pitching. Hell, it's his ninth professional year already. Mm. You know him. What do you see in him and of him right now?
Well, I think, you know, the soundbite you played of Joe talking about him, I mean, I think that said a lot. And, you know, talking to Michael when he was at Fenway a couple of weeks ago, he admitted, he's like, listen, you know, I had to stop being the guy, as you said, who was going to throw 108, who was going to set records for the hardest thrown pitch of all time. I can't be that guy, and I can't be the guy off the field that I was either. Because we can go down the long list of things when he was with the Red Sox organization that went awry. I remember walking out of the clubhouse one just random day in the middle of spring training, and there's Michael Kopech walking by with a cast on his hand. It turns out he got in a fight with his roommate. You know, so And that was just one thing. A lot of stops and starts. You always knew it was in there. You always knew he had talent. But talking to him the other day, it was so refreshing because, you know, first sign of addiction is denial, right? I mean, you have to figure, you have to look in the mirror and say, I can't be that guy. I have to be this guy. And he absolutely has embraced it. It's great to see what he's doing on the field. It's great to see the way that he's doing it on the field. And by all accounts, it's great to see this story, how he's matured.
Is that because he's become a husband and father? Is this because he's been open and honest about seeking help with his mental health? What do you think the process has been?
Yeah, I can't say for sure. I don't want to say, I can take an educated guess about it, and I think it's something you said. I think it's being open and honest in terms of where he's at in his life, what he's done in his life, you know, where he's going in his life. And I think that's a big part of for all these guys. And this is really not to get too deep into it, but I think that the great thing that we're going through in baseball, in the world of Major League Baseball right now, is that I think more guys are accepting of that. Think about that. You know, 10 years ago, like this was, people were, I can't be honest. I can't be open. I can't get therapy. I can't do any of this. No, I can't do that. I can't change. I'm supposed to be that guy. I think a lot of that has changed. And I think that obviously for the better, and this is, I my educated guess when it comes to Michael, is this is another case of that.
Joe Kelly said something yesterday. He was terrific on these airwaves yesterday. I mean, just really a fascinating guy. And he admitted being envious of Liam Hendricks' arm. And just say that a guy who's just able to, you know, warm up that fast and throw the pitches that he throws. What do you think the Sox have in Joe Kelly as he's coming back from injury here?
Well, I mean, I think that we saw a little bit in glimpses, obviously, the last his first few outings. Now, he had a little bit of rust patch, but you look at what he did at Yankee Stadium, and you look at what he can do. His even though he had the health thing last year, he's bounced back, and he's throwing as good as ever. And the biggest thing here is not only that you have an arm that you can pitch at the end of games and big time and big moments. And this is another thing about Kelly, like you're going to have your bumps in the road, but at the same time at the big moments, for whatever reason, like go look at his postseason stats. Mm-hmm. They're insanely good. And like, he's the guy who you want out there. He just doesn't care, as you found out yesterday, about, you know, the big moment or what people think or whatever it is. And I think that's another big part of this clubhouse. Like, I'm not around the White Sox clubhouse, but I do talk to Joe. And I can tell you from what he says is that this White Sox clubhouse is a really good clubhouse with the right intentions. And I think that a guy like him is a really, and Liam are great fits in terms of what a winning clubhouse looks like. And I think that that's what the White Sox have.
That's a high praise then, I think. I hope it matters. I hope that's an important thing because with baseball, I never know. I never know if we just talk about it after a team wins and they say, well, it was a great clubhouse, or if you can know ahead of time and whether or not that even correlates to winning games or not. I guess you'd rather have a good one than a bad one, right?
No, well, I mean, you talked to Joe. I mean, that we talked about it yesterday in the podcast where we, you know, he thinks he was traded from St. Louis, or you know, educated guess, because of his personality, because of the way he was perceived. And he said, you know, that clubhouse was completely different. The 2018 Red Sox clubhouse, the Dodgers clubhouse he was in, the White Sox clubhouse that he's talking about right now, he said they're all the common denominators, where you have guys not worrying about, you know, playing time, not worrying about brands, not worrying about, you know, all the other stuff of stats. We're just worrying about winning. And it's not always going to be 100%, but as he points out, he's been on some winning teams, and he said, listen, I see that here. And you can get a little sense of that in all the kerfuffle that's been going on over the last few days with the Yankees. Like, you get a sense of that. I mean, again, I'm not around the White Sox. I just talked to Joe, but that's what he tells me.
Lastly, I want to get back to something you mentioned before when you were talking about Chris Sale. And you implied there's something about the relationship with the Boston media and or fans that required a certain diplomacy or deft touch or an ability to articulate oneself. Does that still exist? I know that every heritage sports city, whether it's New York, Philly, Chicago, they like to think, well, you know, it's tough to play here because we're so demanding or we have such high standards. Is Boston still, is it different, and is it different in a good way?
It's here's the answer to that. There's one word that every player who comes through Boston to this day should understand. It's accountability. It's accountability. That's all people want. And you can buy yourself so much time if you have accountability. And that's, you know, honestly, Chris Sale's bought himself a lot of time because there's nobody been more accountable. You know, when he gets out in front of a mic after a bad outing or if he gets hurt or whatever it is. And every player that's come through, like, that's the thing that they should be told. And I'll give you an example. It's a recent example. Trevor Story, who is a great guy in the clubhouse, everything you want in a baseball player. Okay, so he has a 4-strikeout game, and then the media's waiting, waiting, waiting. He doesn't come out. Well, you know, he got ripped in the media because, like, you just struck out 4 times. Well, he didn't know. Like, he didn't know because he had never gone through that. It wasn't, like, malicious, or it wasn't like he wasn't being accountable. He just didn't know. But I guarantee you that's the type of guy that going forward, he'll be out there every single time. You know, if he has a terrible game, he'll be out there answering the questions because, like, first of all, that's who he is. And also, he knows how important it is. Alex Cora grabbed Eric Gagne when he came to Boston and said, listen, you cannot leave after you blow a save. And you know what? Eric Gagne never left after that. So to go back to it, that's the biggest thing in Boston.
Did Cora talk to Story?
I don't think he needed to. Like, I honestly, like, I don't think that this was, well, listen, I mean, there were stories written, there were columns written in the Boston media about how dare Trevor Story bail out after striking out 4 times. So I don't think anybody needed to do this to Trevor Story, because I bring up the Gagne example. The Gagne example was, well, he wanted to leave because he didn't want to answer the questions. Good guy, but didn't want to answer the questions. And so Cora said, listen, you've got to do it. I think Trevor Story kind of understands that you have to answer the questions. It just, like, in his mind, he's like, I just got to go work in the cage for 2 hours after the game, which is what he did. So in that case, I don't think Cora had to talk to him.
That's interesting, because I think there are guys, when you sign a big contract, when those high expectations, when you come in, I always am curious about who actually says those things to someone about this is what you can expect here. And if you come here, this is how your life might be different, because every team, every history, every market has its own rules in that regard.
Yeah, and I can tell you with the Trevor Story situation, I talked to him about it. It was about a week ago. He hits a big home run, first game of a homestand. This is sort of his moment. I said, you know, listen, I remember when Torrey Hunter said this, and this is going back a little bit, but in 2008, when Torrey Hunter went from the Twins, where he had been his entire life, to the Angels, he said, it wasn't until I hit a grand slam, a game-winning grand slam, that I actually felt welcome, at home, comfortable, everything. And sometimes these guys need those moments. And you know, that's what Story had, and I think that it's not seamless. I mean, these guys are human beings. They have to know where the new grocery store is and around the corner from where they're living, like all of this stuff. So, you know, but in Boston, the biggest thing is that while you're figuring all that out, you got to make sure you're accountable.
Let me ask you this while I got you here, because I've just finished watching the HBO series Winning Time about the Showtime Lakers. I don't know if you're watching it. But
yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I enjoy, by the way, the back and forth of people either saying it's great or people ripping it. So that's good.
I absolutely can't get enough of it. And I know that it's fiction, and I understand why people are mad, but I'm entertained by the fact that people are mad. But how did Boston react to how it was cartoonishly portrayed before they went into Boston? And there's that whole montage that is not exactly subtle in painting Boston with a very broad and openly racist brush.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's low-hanging fruit, right?
Yeah.
It's low-hanging fruit. I mean, this is what this is the thing that stinks about, you know, if you want to get into that conversation with Boston, it's we have to fend off all this. And listen, a lot of, in Boston, there's a history of it. I get that. So there's a reason why you have to fend it off. But I get when Kyrie Irving walks off the court and gets the water bottle thrown at him by one idiot, one moron, mm-hmm. one, you know, just like a guy just is one guy.
But you knew,
you knew it was coming, right? Here come the talking heads and national everything, and you knew it, Boston. And this is the bed that the Boston sort of lies in. We understand that. And it leads you to images like you're talking about, portrayals like you're talking about. And unfortunately, it's sort of a circle the wagons mentality. It's not, I mean, this is a terrible analogy, but it's like with the Patriots hatred, you know, the rest of the country used to hate or hates the Patriots. Like, well, how dare you hate the Patriots? You know, circle the wagons. Mm-hmm. With the race talk in Boston, it's a circle of wagons mentality in Boston. And but we know, you know, that when something like this is going to, or that conversation, the old Celtics and the Lakers and all of that comes up, you know, we know it's coming. And again, a lot of it is earned. And that's the unfortunate part of it.
Well, good stuff. I'm glad I remembered to ask about that. Rob, terrific. Really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
My pleasure. I'll talk to you later.
That's Rob Bradford, Red Sox writer and broadcaster at WEEI, host of the Bradfoe Show podcast. And Joe Kelly was on there. Joe Kelly was in this studio yesterday with the Parkinson Spiegel Show, and he was fantastic. And if you're a White Sox fan, you're going to want to get to know Joe Kelly. And it's another guy who is fun to root for, and yet another reason why we're hopeful that the Sox season takes off and makes a lot of these guys matter. But he was great. You'll hear from him next on The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
0-2. Right field should do it. The White Sox behind Kopech and Anderson come into Yankee Stadium and hand the Yankees their second series loss of the season, winning tonight 5-0. And you leave here thinking, yes, Michael Kopech is legit and he's healthy.
On all good stuff. Hopeful that the White Sox can carry this into the next series against the Red Sox and make all of this matter. Make all of this matter. Don't let this just be another thing. Oh, yeah. Remember when that happened? Remember that whole deal? It would be really cool if all of this teamwork and everybody saying the right things and supporting their teammate and pulling in the right direction can end up mattering.
Kopech was really good. Really, really good.
Yes! Yeah, he was really, really good, and he trusted his stuff. He wasn't overthrowing. He didn't, and even though he it wasn't smooth sailing the entire time, he kept his composure. There was stuff, you know, in different pitches, moving around the quadrants of the zone. Guys, some of the swings he got were no chance swings. There were some swords in there against really, really good hitters. That was part of what Joe Kelly talked about when he was sitting in here yesterday with Parkins and Spiegel, the White Sox veteran reliever and decorated reliever, first shared his perspective on what Josh Donaldson said and the context of the breaking news that they got at the time of the mere one-game suspension.
I was like, what's going on? And then they said, well, yeah, Yasmani got in, what's that guy's name?
Donaldson.
Donaldson's face. And I was like, for what? What happened? And then I found out that he called Tim a Jackie. I was like, oh, like, bleep, sorry. Oh, bad. You should probably bleep out Jackie, though, too. Like, that's bad. Like, that's horrible. Like, that's not tolerated in any kind of sport.
So he called him a Jackie?
Whatever it was. Whatever I wasn't there. Whatever you guys read.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever it is, it wasn't for good intentions.
Right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. He could have said, what up, like, what up, ugly? Like, it's whatever he's saying, they're not friends. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I am half Mexican. You know, I have plenty of Afro-American friends, but I would never even say that to my friends. You know what I mean? Like, that are my boys. Like, next June 9th, my birthday, we play at Dodger, so I'm not going to go to run by Mookie and say that.
Right.
Like, first of all, Mookie would probably never have a problem. And second of all, I would never say it. So none of those two things would ever happen. Like, Mookie's one of my best friends. David Price is one of my best friends, but I would never say it to David Price. You know what I mean?
Of course.
And now you're saying it to a person you hate? Guys, like, that's terrible. No one would ever say that.
And that's just his reputation.
100%.
What does it say to you that you guys all rallied around TA and there really hasn't been a Yankee contingent coming out and supporting him?
Would you support a loser?
No.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when you know the answer, hey, 2 plus 2 equals 4, you'd be like, my team says it's 3. Like, no.
This idiot over here says it's 3.
But everyone else in the world knows what you did and says it's 4.
Yeah.
So, of course, that just shows you who's right and who's wrong.
We have breaking news on what happened in New York. Josh Donaldson has been suspended 1 game. He is appealing, and he has been fined an undisclosed amount.
I got suspended 8 for making a silly face. silly face.
The face to Correa?
So, yeah.
You got 8 games for that?
Because apparently I caused a pandemic. I caused people to get sick because benches cleared.
Because you frowned at Carlos Correa.
Yeah, and I walked a lot of people. I didn't hit nobody. I walked a lot of batters, and I got 8 games. How about that?
Oh, my God.
So
1 game is ridiculous, isn't it?
1 game is bad. 1 game is bad.
He caused a pandemic. But I do remember that being an extenuating circumstance because baseball was concerned about the proximity before vaccinations, et cetera, and when we... Oh, that's right. So that's why I had forgotten what had made it worse in that regard. What became an accelerator of that was, I think it's a better legal term for that, an intensifier, was the fact that he had put people at risk of catching COVID by making his silly face. That's really funny. So about this sort of thematic statement that we've started with here, about this all being a jumping off point, a turning point. Will this do anything for the White Sox? Here's Joe Kelly.
Yeah, of course. I mean, when you do something to a team and then nothing happens out of it, you know, that's like not a championship quality team to me. You know, the two World Series that I've been a part of have been outstanding teams like this team. 2018, you know, we had an amazing team.
In Boston.
You know, we got into obviously a bench clearing brawl. Had some words after that with our team. And, you know, we started playing baseball for each other, not selfishly, had some edge, started dancing in the outfield. So it brought us together. And then, you know, each one of those guys would say that. You know, 2020, we had a great team. To get pissed off with the whole cheating scandal and have a moment like that, you know, we went on to win the World Series after that. when you have a team that's great and you can find a way to take it to that next step where you bomb your team, you want to stick up for your teammates, and there's a moment that pisses off a whole staff, not just players, it's coaches, it's media, it's our own PR, all the way to the top of GMs, presidents, that goes a long way. And it could be a huge turning point. And hopefully a moment like that, we go out and perform well. And once you get in the playoffs, anyone can do anything. But you know, our goal is obviously to get the playoffs, but ultimately it's to win the World Series.
Add Joe Kelly to the list of White Sox you can enjoy rooting for, but maybe Chris Tannehill isn't on that list. So he was his. Was it the S word that he said there, where he said bleep that, or was it F?
Yeah.
It was F?
Well, look.
It was?
There was a lot of bad in that interview, like bad things that you can't say on the radio.
Well, so, I know what he called Josh Donaldson we can't say.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of that. And yeah, so you know, at the beginning of the interview, those you can go back to 670thescore.com and listen to the whole thing unfiltered. You know, this dumb button yesterday.
What I mean. Like, and Tanny is incredibly conscientious because now he's a suit. You know, now he's responsible for Odyssey business and property and all that stuff.
Well, the thing about that interview is like, okay, you can't swear, but no, we got you. Don't worry. We have the dump button. So I think as a player, you're thinking somebody who's not a media professional, it's like, oh, okay, well, if I let it slip, then I'm fine. Well, no, it doesn't necessarily work that way.
The problem is podcasts. The problem is so many athletes do their own podcast or they're part of a podcast, but they just don't. It's not an issue to try to explain. You know, I'll listen to, and Ian's really good about it, but I'll try, you know, because you hear Ian on the compound. My goodness. I mean, it's you're flying left and right, famously. They're baseball players. And it's the way people talk. And to say, look, no, these are actual radio airwaves governed by a very powerful federal authority. And these flashing red buttons, and Red Buttons is in here, actually. He comes in, too. And we tell him to get out. What are you doing here? But the matter at hand is not something to be messed with. And it takes a while for that to reset. Like, you can't just go bing, 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 because the computer's got to build in the delay a little bit more. So, I can imagine Tanny felt like he was on a roller coaster for a little while there. You can relate, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of sitting back and thinking as a producer, I'm like, man, I'm glad this isn't me on the board right now.
We have a lot to do in the midday midway. We have successful hunters in the city of Chicago. Very successful hunters right here on the south side. We also have a story I don't know if I want to get into, but there is a... Have you seen the story about the cyclists and the fugitive murderer? I would say probably the most attractive fugitive murderer I can remember. I didn't know there was such thing as a FAMILF, but there apparently is, because they can't find her. She absolutely, I mean, like, there's no doubt on this one, I don't think. And it tangentially involves sports, because it's a niche sport I haven't heard of. But I'm a little surprised the story hasn't gotten more traction just because of what's involved here. But there's successful Chicago hunters and a story I have to admit that I've had an eye and an ear on. That's coming up on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
first half or the second half. You know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Here on the Tuesday Midday Midway, we'll start with what we began talking about, and that was debating how baseball handled the Josh Donaldson one-game suspension. And then how the Yankees said, well, you know, by the way, he's got COVID, so you can't talk to him for a while. Okay, whatever. Aaron Judge clearly is able to tell the truth about what happened. When you hear that from a teammate and when you hear somebody who is famously supportive, aggressively supportive of his players as Yankees manager Aaron Boone, to hear him say what he said, there is clearly a right and a wrong side to this. I'm just tired of the lying. I'm tired of the disingenuousness. I'm tired of so many people trying to twist themselves into knots with talking points of plausible deniability. Well, it wasn't this, and you don't know that it was this, and you can't accuse. Yeah, you can, and you do, is the bottom line on that one. Rob Bradford, the Red Sox writer for WEEI, was really good, too, and revisiting Joe Kelly from The Score yesterday was fun. All right, the headlines really don't do this particular story justice, but have you seen what happened? There's a manhunt on for a Texas yoga teacher, a 34-year-old yoga instructor, who they're saying allegedly killed a professional cyclist who had previously dated her boyfriend. And she is nowhere to be found right now. Caitlin Marie Armstrong is wanted for killing Anna Mariah Wilson, who was found dead May 11th in Austin after she arrived from San Francisco to take part in a bike race. And she does something called gravel riding, apparently competitive gravel riding, which is just it's a hybrid of mountain biking and road racing. So it's trail racing essentially, but it's in what looks like a racing bike rather than a mountain bike. So it's sort of in between. I'm trying to get a sense for what it is, but it's not quite motocross kind of style, but she's apparently great at it, and this is a burgeoning sport. And this is a classic story because Armstrong's boyfriend is pro cyclist Colin Strickland. He told authorities he had a romantic relationship with both women, and he'd gone on a date swimming with Wilson shortly before a friend found her dead on the bathroom floor from multiple gunshot wounds. And Strickland said he had a relationship with Armstrong for 3 years, but he got a fling with Wilson while they were on a break in October. And apparently, Armstrong not happy about that break. And she's on record saying she wanted to kill her. And he told authorities that he had changed Wilson's name on his phone and deleted messages to prevent Armstrong from finding them. So apparently he was worried. And I think there are people lying about what was a break and what wasn't a break and what was ongoing and what wasn't ongoing. Well, regardless, Caitlin Armstrong put an end to things. And they have her car there on the ring camera. They have the shell casings from the gun that match. Like this thing, and she's gone now. But I'm just a little surprised that because of the photo that they use of Caitlin Armstrong, and then I don't know, maybe you Google her name and then you do an image search, and the photo that comes up is even better. Like I'm just shocked that this isn't a bigger story based on some of the optics that you have here. You find this woman.
I think Shane needs to jump in here and try and fix that woman. I think he can do it.
Oh, you think he can save her?
He can save her, yeah.
He can just by his presence, he can complete her.
He can fix her,
and,
yes.
And fix her and make her and find whatever is missing in her life that turned her into a cold-blooded murderer. I mean, that is not to be. She said it, apparently. And they had her. Like, they had her in for an interview on what they're calling an unrelated warrant. And members of warrant, and then they determined the warrant was invalid, and they said, you're free to go. She's like, okay, fine. And then apparently then she went over and put like 15 bullets in this woman and then took off. Don't mess with a yoga teacher. Damn.
So I mentioned there was a successful hunter on the south side of Chicago. Hunting in Hyde Park. And a father and son displaying what they hunted successfully. I had no idea, but hot damn. Austin Goolsby and his son Addison with an absolute trove of morel mushrooms. Not Christopher Morel, not Brent Morel, but in Hyde Park, they went mushrooming, and they came up with just a glorious haul of mushrooms here that Dale Bowman is highlighting with a nice picture in the Sun-Times. Who knew? I thought you had to wander into the woods with pigs and dogs to find these things.
Isn't there like aren't you not supposed to do that? Isn't that illegal to go mushroom picking in like a forest and stuff? Like if you get caught, you're in trouble?
I don't know. I don't know if forest preserves own the edible mushrooms there or if that is taxpayer land and it's just first come, first serve. But apparently there is a season. And according to Dale Bowman, he said there was a split across the Chicago area. The season ended in southern counties, Will, Kankakee, and Grundy, while truly just beginning in Cook, Lake, DuPage, Kane, and McHenry. And I don't know if that's a weather-related issue or what it means that we've had a historically wet spring. All I know is if you've never had fresh, simply sautéed morels, if you are into that earthy, umami flavor profile, just good butter and a little cracked black pepper and a little sprinkling of fleur de sel. Oh my God, is that living, man.
According to morelmania.com, collection of mush, and this is for Illinois law, collection of mushrooms is allowed in state parks and recreation areas, but is prohibited in any area designated as a dedicated nature preserve.
I guess that's what the term preserve means, that you're supposed to leave it there.
In theory.
Right. And morels also are super hard to cultivate artificially. Like, there are not any real morel farms. There have been some people who have had success on and off, like putting the spores in, like, mulch or wood chips and that whole thing. And traditionally, if I remember, you're supposed to harvest them in a mesh bag or a bag with holes in it there, that as you bring back your catch, the spores can be disseminated elsewhere. But if you like those things, man, that is good for them. Because I hope they enjoy, because it is a... Every once in a while, when you see them on a menu, get them. If you go to a place that does seasonal farm-to-table stuff, or if you're at a farmer's market and you see them, get them. That's an automatic. That, and when is ramps season? Because locally, I know here in the Chicago area, when the ramps are being picked, and those are a local wild scallion, a wild green onion, also incredible. You can do like a flash grill, just get a couple of, you can put a tiny bit of olive oil on them and just char them super fast on a grill.
Like mid-April to early May is the season, or the best time for them.
And can I ask you something? Is that the same Austin Goolsby? Because that name is familiar to me. And this is A-U-S-T-A-N. Is that the same dude that's the renowned economist? I want to say, there can't be two Austin Goolsbys. I'm just recognizing it's got to be the same guy. He's a world famous economist, and Hyde Park would make sense because you know the name. I think he didn't he work in the Obama administration?
Maybe.
I think he did. It's got to be the same guy. There can't be two Austin Goolsbys in Hyde Park.
Former chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors for Barack Obama.
Yes, same guy, right?
I don't know.
It has to be. It's got to be. So that's pretty cool, too. I mean, this is... Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, a world-renowned University of Chicago economist and morel hunter. That's a damn resume right there. That's cool stuff. And that... has been the Midday Midway. I don't know what the hell these NBA playoffs are, other than largely a pile of suck. Is you get so excited to watch a basketball game, and then the game's on for 5 minutes, and it's a 30-point difference. Like, I guess I'll watch the Cubs in Cincinnati again, or let's put another Ted Lasso on, or we'll do something. I don't know. You want to take a walk? It's just, this has been a tough watch.
And it's too bad because he's the conference finals. It's supposed to be great, and maybe the finals will redeem us. But I don't know what we're learning here. I don't know what lessons we can draw here. That's why we always look for smart NBA people to help us. And that's how we found Mo Dakhil of the Athletic NBA show and former assistant coach, video coordinator for the Clippers and for the San Antonio Spurs. Also want to talk to him about the Bulls' X's and O's a little bit, about what they can do and how we can fix what their needs may be. So NBA talk next on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.